David Carroll. I am a co-owner of the property that is known as Sandy Landing Farm, which was the old Townsend homestead, first built in 1820. The address is 30587 Sandy Landing Road. And we have a slight interest in this property and the development. And I think you can, I'll use one of their maps if they don't mind. Our house is right here.
Why don't you put that up so that we can see it? There we go. Mm-hmm.
Where?
Right here.
Okay.
We also, I think there was an earlier question, just to clarify this before I start in the presentation, about why did the two parcels get separated? Well, Bud Townsend approached us about 6 years ago and offered us those 4 acres of land to protect our house and homestead, Townsend homestead, from unruly development or overly dense development. We obviously took that opportunity, so we purchased this 4 acres of land, including the easement here, and subdivided that off into two lots. We had originally wanted 4 lots. We were told at that time that we could not do that, but if I could use the standards that I see here today, I could get 16 or 18 lots out of that. So maybe I'll be back in to talk to you.
Depends on what you applied for. I wouldn't say that that's an appropriate jump, but anyway.
Yes, but we would say this is not an appropriate jump. For your interest, I've brought along a few neighbors who will, of course, be speaking, I think, some of them later who have concerns. We will try to be quick. We know the hour is late. It's late for us also. But as you can imagine, this project has significant bearing on our quality of life and our investment and our concerns with water quality, our drinking water, the inland bays, and the future of this area. The Sandy Landing Cove project under consideration tonight was before you, as mentioned earlier, about 2 years, a little over 2 years ago. We raised a number of issues in our testimony at that time. Unfortunately, I think that the action was to table the proposal, to remove it from consideration. We had hoped that some of our concerns would have been taken to heart, and we would see an improved plan that would respect us as neighbors. Well, I guess this is what is now known as deja vu all over again. Because the reality, well, let me correct that. It's deja vu all over again, but they've actually made it worse. And unfortunately, that's at the direction of DelDOT, and I think there are a couple things we can agree on, but the location and the movement of this entrance for this entire project onto an easement road, which is very congested and very tight movement in here already, and as a matter of fact, floods during heavy rains, is unwise, unsafe, and will significantly diminish our property values. Because that means that all traffic entering and leaving this project, although I've heard it described as a small project, everything is relative. This is a big project to us. And in full use, there are 77 houses here. There could be at least 150 cars with their guests all coming in and out of this point. All emergency vehicles will have to drive down Falling Point Road, pass where they need to get to, and then negotiate a hairpin turn back into the property and go back to the area that they need to service. So we have real concerns about DelDOT's recommendations. We know that this plan is in the environmentally sensitive developing area, although I guess a lot of the citizens are still scratching our heads about exactly what that means, but we can't revisit that, unfortunately. But it's been characterized here that there are a lot of lots around here, a lot of development here. Well, I think if you look at the aerial photograph, you will realize that with the exception of Dogwood Acres, and I hope we're not going to use that as an example of good development, this area is overwhelmingly functioning agriculture. From 26 up Sandy Landing Road, around down Falling Point Road, it is agriculture. There is intermediate development there, true. But almost all of that development is on 1 acre or greater lots. Seawinds, in fact, which is the newest development immediately to the west, their smallest lot is in the range of 0.5 acre and proceeds up to 2 acres. And that is what our main issue is. We've heard lots of zoning talk here, and density talk here. But the bottom line here that we are asking you to consider is that you keep this area's character consistent with Seawinds and use that as the template for development. Now, I understand that as part of this process, the report has to be filed that discusses a number of the questions raised in environmentally sensitive developing areas and a number of the comments by PLUS. I would point out that the PLUS review some 2.5 years ago generated about 16 pages of comments, most of them negative, or raising serious concerns. And I would submit to you tonight, and I will go through a few of them only, I know time is short here, that we think have not been adequately addressed or in fact have been misrepresented. Our first is the impact on the waterways, the inland bays. I've just heard tonight for the first time that DNREC has approved the TMDL. We have not had the ability to see that report yet, and I will be requesting a copy of that report and submit it to EPA for their review. They're the final reviewing agency in terms of whether or not it's adequate. I guess we have a major concern here in that right now we applaud the developer for using bioswales and green technology, but that is only part of the budget that's used for developing TMDLs. We're talking about now bringing in water to serve this entire area. That water is not there now. Obviously, rain is intermittent, so it's very limited about the impacts of this property as it now exists. However, we will be bringing in water to serve 77 families. That water is now being put back into the ground adjacent to a number of private wells. These are all private properties here. All private properties own private wells. And so the question that was raised earlier about wellhead protection, we are very sensitive to that. And in fact, I hope apparently the developer can possibly guarantee us that our wells will not be impacted by this and perhaps post a bond to make sure that our wells are not impacted by this development. But we believe there will be significant impacts on the volume that will be introduced to this site as part of the development. We also, I must say, I was interested. Term of 15 feet is a buffer. I know it's in the law, but 15 feet is from here to the flags. And that serves as a very limited buffer, especially when you're talking about a row of 13 to 14 houses on 7,500 square foot lots. That's the density level that's been recommended in the comprehensive plan for urban areas, not agriculture areas, for urban areas. And the reality is if we take a little trip down Falling Point Road here, is here we're looking due north. This is where we will have a line of 13 houses with a 15-foot buffer. The development envelope is set an additional 10 feet behind that. So in reality, you will be able to build we will see the butt end of some 13 to 14 houses as we drive down Falling Point Road. And you don't think that's going to have an impact on our property value? I submit it will, because this is going to be people's decks. It'll be people's, what we all do in our backyards, grill, et cetera. So that is now going to be the view approaching our properties here at the Bluffs. If you turn to the right off here, you'll see this area in here, and this is the area where they've talked about placing three additional lots. Good choice. Residential lots that back onto chicken houses. Again, there's a buffer, a 30-foot buffer. Well, let me tell you, I think there are 6 or 9 or perhaps more chicken houses here. This is, remember, agricultural. And when they turn on their blower fans, the phone calls will start, believe me. And so we have suggested, and I was heartened to hear, that there may be the possibility of moving those houses and switching them to provide buffer to the other houses in the area. I've heard, let me just finish this trip here, I'll make it fast. Here we're approaching Sandy Landing Road. Here we are at Sandy Landing Road. This right here is the intersection of Sandy Landing and Falling Point Road. That's our house right there. This is after you've made the left-hand turn, which is where all the traffic will be focused, is right in this strip of road right here. And that is the left, this is the easement area here. So the main entrance to this project is all through an easement, which also has to serve the homes on Ontaka Trail, plus four homes that are being proposed here. This is a view back down the road, south along Falling Point Road. I would characterize that as rather agricultural. This happens to be our latest project, rather large garden, which we will have the great pleasure of getting to see all the headlights and the cars move in and out of this property along this easement right here. You're looking inside the fence here, right here. I'd also note you'll see the pictures of fairly large clusters of trees. About a third of the site is in fact forested, and one of the most recent comments by the Department of Agriculture was to remove a number of lots to preserve the property. I'll change this exhibit. I was interested to hear that they're going to try to save 60% of the forest cover. Well, just by way of background, I'm a land planner and a landscape architect, been doing it for 35 years. And I will tell you, right now you can see this is the tree cover. You can see it superimposed over the proposed project. This orange area, using their map, shows the new tree line. That is what is being proposed to be absolutely preserved. That is the buffer. That buffer actually is on a steep slope or a bluff, and this is also what qualifies as open space. So I'm not quite sure, unless you have West Virginia cows, you're going to be able to use this as open space. The reality, by the time you put...
Excuse me, sir. Mm-hmm. What's a West Virginia cow?
West Virginia cow, it's the same as a North Carolina mountain cow. That's where I come from. That's cows that have have accommodated the steep slope of the hills, and they have shorter legs on one side and the other. They only can go around the hill the one way, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, would you bring one the next time you come?
I'll make every effort to bring one.
Hey, I'd like to see. I'd pay $5 to see that, I think.
I'd pay 10 because I got to bring the one. So here we have a condition where we have about 1,100 linear feet of roadway with the bioswales along the roadway, with 2 5-foot sidewalks along the roadway. The reality is if you can get 60% with each of those houses on a lot that are in generally either 7,500 square feet or 9,500 square feet, it'll be like the West Virginia cow. That is, it doesn't exist, it won't happen, it's not there. So the reality is there will be no way that there will be anywhere near 60% of trees, even with selective thinning, because of the impacts of development and the roadway. I've mentioned the impacts on the property values. We think that's going to be severe. What I find interesting is the discussion about the report, and that we believe that the report is incomplete. We believe that there are enough questions that remain unanswered and concerns that have not been addressed by this community. It is introducing a lot size and a density that is found nowhere else in this area other than Dogwood Acres. It's found nowhere else in this area other than Dogwood Acres, a 50 or 55 or 60-year-old subdivision. This will radically change our area. It will change the character of our area and the value of our area, and we think seriously impact. Now, we do not oppose development. We know it's coming, but we do want it to make it consistent with the development that is there today, and that is half acre or greater lots. And we have, as I was mentioned earlier, even attempted not to be totally negative. And this is a sketch plan of what we would like to be at least the starting point for discussion. about this project. Essentially, we have rerouted and returned the entrance along this straight, narrow roadway, which has very good sight lines, a secondary entrance here. We have placed a 50-foot buffer and berm along the edge to protect the backs of those houses from Falling Point Road. We have increased the lot size significantly. The smallest lot in here is about 18,000 square feet. We have turned these lots much deeper, over 200 feet. We have included, in addition to the existing open space, added another 50 feet of easement along the waterfront, which would be protected. We have, in fact, now flipped the wastewater treatment plant so that it actually lines up with the chicken houses. We have added very large lots here. They are larger than an acre, so that they back upon the existing residential uses here and buffer all along that entire area. And we have granted access along this. Oh, this is the historic access. This is actually Sandy Landing. This is where mules and et cetera were taken from this farm and floated out into Delaware Bay on barges. The average lot size here is about a half acre and up. These are acre lots, as you can see. We believe that this is a reasonable starting point. It's 32 lots. We believe a reasonable starting point for discussions. And what we would like and suggest, I hope you would support us in, is that you find that the report is incomplete, that there are significant questions which have to be yet answered, that you would turn down the application, that you would then charge the Friends of Sandy Landing, our neighbors, and the developer to go back to the drawing board and come up with a plan that meets everyone's concerns before we resubmit it to you. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, one question, because one of the things that is the commission has stated that we're asking of applicants is their qualifications, if they're going to testify as witnesses. Sir, if I could have your qualifications, because you testified to a lot of different things.
Right.
This
right.
evening.
I worked as a coastal planner for the city of Baltimore for 15 years. I was the secretary of the Maryland Department of the Environment for 2 years. I was the governor's Chesapeake Bay coordinator for water quality in Maryland for 6 years. I am currently, for the last 5 years, the director of environmental programs in Baltimore County.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you live in Sussex County?
I have owned the property for 20 years. And I will be here soon.
As soon as you can.
You're darn right.
Okay.
Well, there are a few factors out there.
I understand. I understand.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I ask Mr. Robertson a question, if I could?
Sure. Go ahead.
Don't we have to consider the plan and the application that's in front of us?
That's correct.
Tonight?
I mean, the plan was submitted for the purposes, I guess, that this gentleman referenced. But right, that's correct. You're acting on the application and the plan that was submitted with the application, which is not that plan. So.
Thank you.
And I would like Mr. Esposito to come up and talk about the water situation, because I think that's on the minds of a number of people here. If you could address the concern regarding the surrounding property owners.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Jerry Esposito with Tidewater Utilities. State law for over two decades requires that if a water supply system dewaters any neighboring wells, the causative agent, meaning if it was our case Tidewater, would be responsible for at least 3 years to replace that water at the utility's expense. So it is not just a commitment from the developer or the utility, but it is state law that would require that.
Are you required to post any kind of bond or anything like that to that effect, or is that just part of your franchise?
We are responsible to the PSC and DNREC, and they have great means to access our resources.
I suspect they do. Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Tom Baylor. I live at 316 Baywinds Court in Seawinds, Dagsboro. I am also the president of the Homeowners Association for Seawinds. I represent 46 lot owners. I want to make something clear in the very beginning that we are not opposed to land development, just inappropriate use. As stated, our development has half-acre lots. And when the Dogwood Acres Estates, as Mr., and I hope I say his name right, Mr. Fuqua?
Fuqua.
I apologize.
Mr. Fuqua, how do you pronounce your name, sir?
Doesn't matter.
Story's been called other things.
I suspect it does matter that it is spelled right in certain places.
Yes. Especially on a $10,000 note. In any event, the when Dogwood Acres was approved, that was a good 40, 50 years ago, and the Zoning Commission back then changed it, and that's what required Seawinds to use a half acre or more. Now we're going backwards in this 7,500 envelope that we're talking about, but I heard no discussion here about the height of these buildings. There was no evidence to that. There was no evidence to what size these buildings are going to be, which, to me, is a critical point.
We'll try to find that out for you.
Thank you. The, you know, I did some quick calculations, and I agree there's about 150 cars are going to be have access to that particular piece of property. Now, and it's ironic this week, and I'm not going to read this whole letter, but I got it from the Department of Natural Resources this week. And I'm just going to read excerpts from that letter, and I will submit it for your...
Go right ahead.
Okay. And they deal with state resource areas, SRAs. And my piece of property was designated as one of those pieces of property. This is Dear Landowner, and it says, these areas are important to every present and future citizen of this state, and you should be proud to own land in one of these special areas. Implementing SRA protection needs to happen at the state and local levels. I will be providing the SRA maps to the counties for consideration as they update and implement their comprehensive land use plans. The counties will use those plans for future growth and adopt or revise land development and protection programs. Once they've been implemented, we will see the difference and appreciate the tools that the General Assembly gave us to protect our natural resources. I believe these maps will lead to smarter development of our precious resources. The state has been repeatedly asked to address these issues of urban sprawl, pollution from development, and the lack of open space for humans and wildlife alike. The map will serve as a tool for county governments to ensure the future development that allows things for all Delawareans can agree. We need trees, wildlife, clean water, clean air, and elbow space. The state's mission is to make sure that we protect everyone's interests in the development of our resources, including interests of future generations who will inherit Delaware as we leave it for them. The Act doesn't prohibit development in these areas. Rather, it promotes development in a more environmentally sensitive manner. The Act requires counties to consider programs to promote smart development, including density bonuses, credits, and incentives for landowners involved in land protection, and a program to allow for the trading and transferring of those credits and incentives. We encourage you to participate in the county's comprehensive plan, which I think I'm doing this evening. And you should also be aware that Land Protection Act requires counties to develop a process for landowners to appeal the SRA designation. And that's signed John Hughes, Secretary. And I'll give that to you.
Thanks.
I heard some speaking this evening about open space. And if you look at the designation there, the open space, I believe, is this big, long strip along Falling Point Road. I see no real open space except for landlocked, what he said was ponds for enjoyment of the community. The I think the applicant is a tad confused, or he misrepresented the open space, because in that open space he's putting this sewer treatment plant, he's putting his wells, his buildings, that's not on this particular drawing, and it gives an appearance that there's more there than really isn't. In the previous hearing that we had, knowing that they were wrong, they withdrew their application, and all of a sudden now they're giving away 4.5 acres to the homeowners because they don't want to have anything to do with it, but now they're congesting everything and trying to use the law to gain benefit. And the benefit is naturally more houses to make more money. And I think in any land use situation, it's not about money. It's about what is best for the community and what is best for the growth of the county. Yes, we are in an environmentally sensitive zone. And I am going to suggest that we have never been approached to meet somewhere in the middle with a developer, that I am offering that to him, but with the 5 foot five foot wide sidewalks on both sides, that is more area that he is purporting him that to be is a open space. I think that even though the cluster law that permits this type of development is a guideline for you to use. It's not the intent of the law when they pass this. It's for smart development. And I'm suggesting to you to interpret that for what's best for the community. The homeowners all talk about this proposal. And I'm telling you right now that I heard discussion this evening about a pier, the possibility of a pier on Stump Creek. Well, apparently they don't know that all the homeowners along Seawinds Drive own to the wetlands on the opposite side. They basically own Stump Creek. So I don't want you to be confused that they're, I don't think they did their homework. And in conclusion, I hope that you side with my arguments and the previous gentleman's arguments. And I don't think the people did their homework, and I don't think that, I think they're out for max dollars and not concerned about anything other than that. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Fuquay, are you by any chance in a position to respond to the gentleman's question regarding the height and type of residential structures that might exist on this site?
I don't have anything as a specific type of architectural design or anything like that. Obviously, this is going to be a fairly upscale development. These will be, fairly large homes. Certainly, I've driven through the Seawinds development. They're very handsome homes there. It would certainly be something of that caliber. The height is controlled by the zoning ordinance. I believe Mr. Lank can correct me. I believe the maximum height is 42 feet. Which would be the same as Seawinds and the same as any place else down there. It certainly won't exceed that. Just something along those lines. It's certainly not going to be a underachieving development.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name's Ed Bender. I live at 30464 Atonka Trail. I'm a licensed engineer as a civil engineer and a hydraulic engineer in the state of Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire. And I know a little bit about land planning. Some of the questions that I had is exactly how was the open space calculated? I know in Zach's depiction there, he has a lot of dark green areas. This area appears to be the effluent disposal area, which is really the sand. Is that counted as open space? This area, by living right here, I know it's essentially wetlands. These areas here, I can't really say it's really reliable open space because the people that buy these lots, unless this land is in an easement,
So how that could be reliably counted as open space is surprising to me. The other question I have is, this area perks quite well. It's quite sandy. And those very, very large basins, if they're not to be used as stormwater basins, will take a tremendous amount of water to fill them and maintain them, especially in the summertime due to the vast evaporation. And the water that I have in my well is just perfect. There's no treatment. There's no hydrogen sulfide. It's excellent water. And if there's any potential to take tremendous amounts of water, especially in the summertime when we have the potential for salt intrusion into our wells, just to fill those ponds for the sake of getting a higher price for the lot because they back up onto water, I feel it's unfair to me losing my well and my good water. I have to convey the same concerns that David had about the entrance. It's totally ill-conceived. There is a lot of traffic in there. To have school buses possibly going around there, it's just a disaster.
You are aware, I want to mention this because it's been mentioned twice now, and just to make sure that you're aware that the Department of Transportation had that very the applicant proposed that very scenario right there.
Yeah.
And then they said no. DelDOT said no. You can't do that. We want the traffic all this way. Now, please don't feel that I'm arguing one side or the other. I just want to make sure that you understand how that evolved from a design perspective. Because I realize you're testifying as a design expert, and I will ask Mr. Crouch to expound on a couple of your questions too, because I think they're good questions. This is one of the issues we frequently have, that this body is not in control of what happens with entrances.
I understand that, but do we have any recourse to go back to DelDOT to question why they would even recommend such a
thing? Well, you can sure go back and ask them.
The other question I had was the bioswales and how Mr. Crouch was going to discharge those ponds in the event that you got the 100-year storm and all. Did you have any details on how you're going to do that, or is there any? I
wouldn't say we have a problem, but we certainly don't want any more water coming this way.
Mr. Crouch, first of all, flip that back, because looking at that, okay? Get the And quite frankly, this very well could work in your favor. That's the plan we have to act on.
I'm sorry.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's fine. And I need you to address your comments and questions to me.
Okay.
If I think they need to be answered, I'll ask Mr. Crouch.
All right. I truly hope that the board will review the direction in which the runoff is discharged, okay, and that there won't be any more runoff coming towards our property than what's coming there now.
Okay.
And that's everything I have to say.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Mr. Crouch, would you be kind enough to come up and, or Mr. Fuquay, it's your show if you want to.
I think the first question Mr. Bender raised was about the open space calculations.
Yes, and that was going to be my question.
Under the county ordinance, we don't define open space as a specific thing. It's basically areas that are not the roads or the lots. So the number that I mentioned is all the open space, and that would include utility areas. It would include everything that isn't a lot. And as I mentioned before, if we counted that 4.5-acre piece, it was a total of 17.2 acres or 42%. If you exclude that, it's 12.6 acres, which is 35%. And I had done that calculation. If you subtracted the utility outlots, and that would be the sewer and the water areas, and you subtracted that out also, it would leave 6.54 acres of open space, which is 20% of the site. And again, in this area, 10% is required by ordinance, so it would still be considerably more than what is required. The roadway entrance and
I have the plan here, but I can just tell you, if you go back to the original application from 2 years ago, the main entrance was right there. It came right in and would go down this main road. And quite frankly, we prefer to have that also. And it certainly is agreeable with us that we will continue to try to work with DelDOT to have the entrance down there, basically tell them everyone would prefer it down there. That, again, I think is, as you recognize, we are required to place the entrance where DelDOT says they want that entrance, but we don't have any question about that either, and I'll defer to Zach on the engineering question.
Yeah, Mr. President, just so the reason why we presented this plan tonight was because of the question in reference.
Hail to the chief. Thank you, Zach. Mr. President, I've been called a lot of things today, but that's a first for that one.
I just wanted to break it up a little bit.
Thank you, sir. All right. But answer the man's question, please.
In reference to the way this is, this is what DelDOT wants. And the reason why we put this together is that, you know, there was some concerns about that. And the way I look at it is, we're not gaining lots. We're not asking for any additional lots. If this is something that the Planning Commission would like to see to address this issue, we can't address the entrance. The entrance is pretty much was stated in the TAC comments as well as the PLUS comments. Oh. It is what it is unless DelDOT says, well, okay, you can put another entrance here, which it did not. But from the perspective of this, we would be more than happy to implement this, and I would go back to DelDOT to see if we could clean this up instead of having this here and then, you know, there again, we would just space the lots out. No more lots. Actually, the only thing it does is provide a little bit more open space. So that would be something that, you know, can be worked out if that was a concern. The other issue was in reference to the ponds. And just like I stated, the ponds, of course, we're going to have to meet all state and county or conservation district requirements. So, you know, we do have an easement between lots 20 and 21, which we're going to discharge to. There's no design with in reference to the swales, but there will be emergency spillway from the ponds to the swales, which will eventually get to one of the access points. I'm sure we're going to have one here and probably one here. So there will be a means of some type of emergency spillway if, you know, we do get a 100-year flood and the ponds do get to a certain elevation. In reference to how the pond's going to be, how to remain wet. There again, the ponds we anticipate being lined to ensure that they will be wet at all times, and hopefully with vegetation around the perimeters to there again get away from the geese and some type of either sprinkler and or system within the pond to keep the pond, you know, within movement so there's no stagnant or algae or things like that. So, they are supposed to be an amenity, and that's what they're going to be designed as.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Dick Jensen. I live at or have a residence at 30495 Sandy Landing Road. Let me just take a moment and check my props to be sure that everything that I'm expecting to be up is.
Okay. If I knew how long you were going to be, I'd tell a joke or something.
I'll be quicker than that. I'm mainly here to talk about the wildlife, but first a little bit of history. You know, some of the comments have brought things to mind. Let me get yet another. That's a good one. Pardon me, just a second.
I feel just like that. I get that.
Okay. Okay. This parcel right here is our property. Okay. We live in a house that was built by Bud and Rachel Townsend sometime in the early 1970s. They sold it, I think, around 1990 as a 4.5-acre parcel. They sold this entire section here as a single home site. This wasn't a farm. There are no farm animals. This was a home site, 4.5 acres. We bought it in 1998 as a 2.5 acre parcel. We had them divide it and bought it as a 2.5 acre parcel. In the interim period, the townhomes have sold numerous other lots, generally in the acre or larger size, thus setting the general size and character of the Sandy Landing community. You know, there are no lots that I'm aware of in the Bluffs or our community or these other lots that the Townsends have sold that are anywhere near the fifth of an acre size that we've heard talked about. So when we think of character, we think of half acre to acre lots rather than fifth of an acre lots. I just wanted to make that historic point clear. The Townsends have established the character of the Sandy Landing community. Sandy Landing is very rich in wildlife. The old growth forest provides shelter and food for many species. And one of the foxiest is the fox. Let me put my props back up. Down here in the lower right-hand corner is a spit of land at low tide that's part of the property that's being proposed for development. Last weekend, there was a fox that was out there at low tide, very, very late in the evening, frolicking. It seemed like he was playing with a great blue heron. And I think that he had in mind an evening snack, frankly.
Yeah, I bet he's doing more than playing with it.
but the
heron
blue,
didn't think he was playing.
Yeah, the great blue was holding his own. And since they work in three dimensions and a fox only works in two dimensions, he wasn't able to catch him. Well, I was able to get that blurry picture. I couldn't get my automatic focus to go manual. But what's truly magnificent at Sandy Landing are our eagles. You know, we have at least a mating pair of American bald eagles that are living at Sandy Landing. And I've got a number of pictures here. There's an eagle soaring over the bay. Here's an eagle sitting in one of our trees. The eagles will stand still. They're really quite tame. They'll stand still for hours and let you shoot pictures of them from underneath the trees. This is an eagle facing off with a great blue heron on our neighbor's dock. Looks like they've got each other under control there. Here's a pair, probably the mating pair of bald eagles out on our neighbor's dock. And a mating pair of bald eagles sitting in our tree in the side of our yard. So the point that I want to make is that the eagles have chosen Sandy Landing as their habitat. You know, they may have a broader circle, but they're there very, very regularly. We see them almost every day in the summer. And they have blessed the character of Sandy Landing. You know, they haven't tested, they don't know about this meeting tonight. They haven't tested the character of Sandy Landing Cove yet. One of the things that worries us the most is that I think that David pointed that out, is that nearly all, I mean, there's a strip of wooded land that begins here and goes across, and there's a 1 acre piece that's in our property right here. And if this development is approved as proposed, the only real forested area that will remain is the 1 acre that we have in our property here. I don't know that 1 acre can support the eagles, the foxes, the raccoons, you know, all of the animals that are inhabiting this area. So my parting comment is that, and as you pointed out, perhaps we couldn't request it, but we'll never come before this board to ask for 5 houses to be built on our 1 acre woods. You know, we pledge that as long as we're alive, that 1 acre woods is going to survive for the wildlife at Sandy Landing. That's all I've got.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Name's Greg White. Live at 30460 Tonka Trail. I'm the developer of the Bluffs at Sandy Landing. We developed that 6 acre, 6.5 acre, 6 lot subdivision in 1989. That time, Bud Townsend was my neighbor. He had no opposition to what we did. We respected he had a large parcel, and we followed exactly, we didn't need any variances. We followed suit. Now, I'm not going to be repetitious, I hope. We brought up the quality of drinking water, and the man from Tidewater stated that the state, if our wells go dry, but what about if our wells are contaminated by the sewage treatment plant? Now we have a sewage treatment plant. There's already nitrogen in the soil from the chicken houses. I don't know. We don't know if the sewage treatment takes out nitrogen, but there's an abundance of nitrogen from those chicken houses right immediately right there, and then we're going to put in a sewage treatment plant right in that area, and we're all within, all of us here are immediately within 300 feet of that. So, okay, our wells go dry. What if they go salt? Mr. Bender brought up, what if they go salt? What if they're contaminated with nitrogen? Then what happens?
I'll find out.
Okay. The property values has been brought up. Now, the comment was just made that you're going to put a high-quality house that is in Seawinds, which is on a half acre to 2 acres, on a 7,500-square-foot lot. I've been in the building business for 32 years. I don't know how you can do it. You can't take an envelope and put an $800,000 house in a 2,000-square-foot house. You can't get the value out of it. Now, if they go with a bigger lot, they're going to get the value. They'll probably make more money. Now, as far as the entrance, maybe this is the solution. Everybody agrees that this entrance is not a good idea. Why don't you cut down the number of lots? We'll be happy. DelDOT gets what they want. The Sandy Landing neighbors get what they want. And we go on. But right now,
maybe you left somebody out.
Developer.
Yeah.
Developer.
He doesn't get what he wants.
Sure he does. If he makes nicer, bigger lots, he'll get more money. And his realtor will get a bigger commission. They're surrounded by expensive homes.
Damn.
$500,000, $600,000, $1 million, and in excess of that. I'd like to know, I read through the in the file today that it's not gonna harm the value of the homes in the surrounding area. What's it based on? What's the size of the houses? You can't just say it's not going to devalue, because you can't take $200,000 houses and put them into $1 million and excess of that and say it doesn't devalue our homes.
I understand what you're
saying.
So
I don't know what, I'd like to know the basis of their comment.
I can ask that question. I can suggest to you what might be the basis of that comment is that real estate has been going through the ceiling. I mean, you're a developer, and I can't believe you're asking me this. You know the answer.
Oh, I know
the
answer. The answer is make nicer, bigger lots and get a better return and have custom houses.
Oh, no. The answer to why it's not decreasing the value is because the values have been spiraling up. You know, I really wish, because we hear this all the time, and I really wish someone would do some empirical research and demonstrate to us where a development has caused the value of homes to go down. Please understand, I'm not arguing for these guys. I know what they're all about. It's all about the money, okay? We're all tuned into that. And I'm glad that every one of you are here tonight, because what you had to say is important. We have an ordinance against which we have to measure this, and we can't make it up as we go along. But what you have to say is important. But everyone that comes in front of us tells us this. No one has ever come in here and said, here is an example where this happened over here and the houses over here dropped in value, because it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You know, because the market is just crazy, or has been. Maybe it will now, but is that going to be because the houses were built or because the demand was down? So I'm just sharing with you my view of that. I'm not saying that you don't have other points that are valid, but I think you'd be hard pressed to prove your point, just as they might be hard pressed to prove theirs.
Okay, I'll prove it in somewhat, maybe. Square footage. You sell a house based on square footage. Okay. If you only can put a 2,000 square foot house on these little 7,500 square foot lots, you can only sell that for X amount of dollars, what the market will understand, will bear.
Right.
Okay, so we have that understanding. So you're going to build smaller homes. The homes in the surrounding area are bigger. Okay.
For more money.
Those houses.
Because you sell them by the square foot.
But you have, so now you have a mix of $800,000 houses with $300,000 houses.
Just show me someplace where it's happened.
I hope I have a house on the market now. I hope I don't have to come back to you and show you how this is.
Well, I hope you do. I mean, I hope it's not.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Boyd.
I think we need to stop now. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm getting a little far afield on all points.
I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone. Go ahead. What else do you have?
I own this parcel right here. It's one, just short of 1.5 acres. You can only put one house there. And they're proposing to put three houses there. This parcel will fit in this two times. It just doesn't make it. It's totally out of character.
Okay.
Totally out of character. One lot would suffice.
Okay.
Tidewater, when they were talking about the water, and I might not have caught it, but I believe they said that the tank would be above ground and exposed, and then it would be camouflaged in with plantings. Is that correct?
I'll find out for you.
Now, down at Seawinds, they had a tank for years, and I believe the Seawinds people have now, I think it's been 5 years now, they've erected a somewhat what's called a shed or a building, and they've done away with that.
Mm-hmm.
So at least the tank isn't above ground. It's much more appealing.
Right.
The 4.5 acres, being that David and I own this parcel, we own that easement. And that is wetland. We'd like to know what it's going to be used for exactly, who's going to maintain it, how they're going to get there.
The statement was made that it was going to, that it was in its natural state now, and that it was going to remain in its natural state.
Correct. But what happens when there's trash there? Are they going to clean it up? Who's going to be responsible for it?
I think that would be part of the homeowner's responsibility, because they own it, so they have the responsibility.
And Tom Stevenson is not here, but part of that is on his gravel road. So are they going to maintain that road as well? That's a concern. Now, the other thing is, if this is approved, it will basically set a precedence for the rest of Sandy Landing Road, which there is a huge amount of vast property, open space other than the farms. And that'll just be inviting sprawl. Also, what it does is it takes out of character, because if you do this in one area, then we're going to have a bunch of 1 and 2 acre parcels and the farms, and then where there's, I don't know what the cut with the cost efficiency is in acreage, maybe it's 40 acres, 30 acres where they can do a sewage treatment plant. So we're going to have sprawl mixed in with people that have been there, as in the holidays, have been there 6 generations. They could not make it tonight. six generations, and they don't want to be surrounded by sprawl, and that's what they refer to it as. Now, the road is Otonka Trail, and they want to rename it MIA. We don't know why they want to do that. I mean, we can't even get a street sign. We just had to order a street sign, which is going to cost us money, and they want to rename the street. If they don't like the name of Otonka Trail, maybe call it Sandy Landing Court or something like that. But I don't know why they're proposing to rename a road that's already in existence that serves the Bluffs, the Jensens, the Hobarts, the Carrolls, and Sappington, Stevenson. There's a number of us that go down Otonka Trail. We're all going to have to change our directions to tell people how to get there. It's hard enough to tell people how to get to the Bluffs, Sandy Landing. And then it's like, you know, oh, you rename the street MIA? And people have said, what is it? What's MIA? Missing in Action? I mean, it's not.
It's my mother's name.
Well, I'm.
Are you about done? Because I think we are. I appreciate what you're saying, but you're reaching pretty far afield. You're all the way down to the street name, and it's 9:45. We got four more hearings when this one's done, so wrap it up in 30 seconds or less.
All right, one moment, please.
No, 30 seconds.
Come on. The other point, last point, is with the entrance the way it is, so many people are going to get lost, and they're going to end up in the Bluffs at Sandy Lane and do a turnaround. So it's going to increase a lot of traffic in there, whereas if they had two entrances, it would really be helpful. We've already addressed that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have anything different to say? We'd be happy to hear from you.
Sir,
Bud Townsend.
Are you in opposition to it?
No, I'm not.
Then
well, we already
then
closed.
We already
the
closed.
Well, you asked if somebody had anything to say.
No, opposition, sir. I asked for opposition. May sit down. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm sorry. I will sit back down.
Thank you, sir. Okay, not a problem. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition with something different? If you got something different,
I want to make it clear too that, as I stated at the beginning of the public hearings this evening, we do have the ability to limit testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. And as the chairman said, it's now 10:10, and we've heard an awful lot of opposition. And the commission is going to take all of this into consideration. Don't get me wrong, but because you say it three times doesn't make it three times more important.
I can try to condense mine.
Go right ahead.
Okay. My name's Jennifer Wojciech. I live in Seawinds, 313 Bay Winds Court. Certified elementary school teacher in Delaware. I was here 3 years ago, and I'm going to say the same thing I said 3 years ago. My focus is the soil. Every second grader in the district must receive a two-month cycle of hands-on experience on the topic of soil. That's in the whole state of Delaware. It's a prescribed Smithsonian Science Kit program. Please take a moment and consider your responsibility to respect Delaware soil, and please consider the documented guaranteed negative impact of disrespectful development in the PLUS report. I have three sentences to read. Okay. The soils in this classification are nearly level, excessively drained, very sandy, rapidly permeable soils. Care should be taken in location of septic filter fields, wells, and the size of the building lots. Because of the excessive permeability of these particular soils, there is a probability of polluting nearby wells, springs, ponds, streams, or other sources of water. And I mentioned Indian River and School District, and it's called Indian River because our water is what makes this area special, and please don't teach our second graders otherwise. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition with something different than what we've heard so far?
My name is Larry Michichi. I live on Sandy Landing Road in this lot right here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we can't say that it's going to decrease the property value because I'm going to be looking on to.
We've already heard that, Larry. Tell me something different. We've already heard that.
Is the roads that come from 26 down Sandy Landing up Falling Point are barely 20 foot wide.
Okay.
You know, just to get two cars to go by, you have to ride on the grass. What's going to happen when tandem loads of dump trucks are coming down the road every day, every day, every day for 2 years, and it's going to tear the roads up.
Good question.
That's all I have to say.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Anyone else have anything different that they'd like to say? Anybody always wish to speak in opposition with something different? Okay, let's have a show of hands, please, of those who are in favor, that are here in favor. Okay, we have one. And then, that's not unusual. Who is in opposition? Raise your hand, just one, please. Okay. Keep him up while our council counts, and bear in mind that he's a lawyer, not a mathematician, so it's going to take him a while, okay? Just keep him up there. And while I have your attention, I want to compliment the lady in the rear with the young child. What a well-behaved child and well-behaved mother she was. Yeah. Is that yours? Okay. Larry, I don't think you're responsible for the behavior part. I suspect you're responsible for the child, but at least I certainly hope you are. 27. Okay, now, before we close the public hearing, I have two things I want to share with you. First of all, maybe three, thank you for coming, those of you from the public who came this evening. Number two, you're one of the best behaved groups that have ever been here. Number three, don't blow it now when you're leaving, okay? We have four more hearings. As soon as we say adjourned, we're going to go right into another one. I need you to leave quickly and quietly. You had your day some other time. No. 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 Later. Call the office tomorrow. Lawrence will be glad to talk to you. Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Our next public hearing is Subdivision 2005-74, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 4, LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, that divides 172.12 acres into 296 lots under the cluster development concept. Located south of Road 48, east and west of Road 405, and south of Road 302. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on April 19th of 2006. An exhibit booklet was provided on October 12th of 2006. Restrictions and easement documents were presented on October 12th of 2006. On October 23rd of 2006, we also received a list of area developments and information, a phase one environmental audit, a wetlands delineation, an economic impact study, a traffic impact study, a school district and fire district maps, and a section 99-9C letter. And I think that's it. Do you have your booklets?
Yes.
I think we do. Wait a minute.
I think that's all I have,
John. All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening?
Gentlemen, the last thing you want to hear is that my name is Jim Fuquay, and I am an attorney representing the applicant.
And you spell that half?
But I am. And I do appreciate the fact that it is getting late, and I will try to be as brief and as quick as I can. This is an application of Delmarva Woodlands Alliance, LLC. There's a number of people with me, and they'll be introducing themselves as they speak. This is a subdivision application for a parcel of land that contains 172 acres. It's for a subdivision to be called Welsh Run. And I think Lawrence indicated there were exhibit books that were submitted and some additional information that's already been submitted for the record. The land is located south of the intersection of Hollyville Road and Zur Road. The land actually borders County Roads 48, 302, and 305. And this land is adjacent to the land where the pumpkin chunking has been held for the past few years. I believe it's been moved to Bridgeville this year, but I'm not certain about that. Is it next year?
Next year.
So it'll be held one more year at this site. The land is actually separated by Hollyville Road into two parcels. Hollyville Road being this road right here. Parcel to the left, which is really on the west side of Hollyville Road, contains about 87 acres. The parcel on the right, or the east side of Hollyville Road, contains about 80.9 acres. And these were lands of Gladfelder Corporation.